the hostage situation, I'm just going to make a comment on the Bibas family. When they did that, it was they brought out the children and they paraded around to loud music, pumping music, all the rest of it, the coffins of those young boys. It was absolutely horrific. It was so bad. And every part of me, and I know online it was, the disgust was enormous. New York lit up many buildings. Niagara Falls went orange for the Bibas children. This was a moment where it truly felt like, for Israel, this was another, it was maybe, I don't know if it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Maybe the straw that broke the camel's back was October 7th, but this is another one. And it feels like another moment where Israel is just saying enough. It just so happens in our portion that we read on our daily portion. The daily portion for Sunday was Psalm 94. Psalm 94, and it was interesting because I had to, I was scheduled to speak on Sunday, and I looked up what the daily portion was for Sunday, because we usually speak on the daily portion, and the daily portion was Psalm 94. Now, it just so happens that Trump actually quoted 94 verse 1, now, he would have had a slightly different. I'm reading King James. The King James is Lord God. In fact, the RV is O Lord God, more emphatic. Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself or shine forth. This is an incredible, even any part of that, to bring the nation's attention to this verse, after October 7th, I think, was powerful. He's referred to it again recently. It's for the nation of Israel. October 7th was just such a horrific moment. Then, as we fast forward, the Bibas children, that was just another moment where they just weep, they mourn, they are just in shock. It's terrible. But when we look at Psalm 94, I just keep looking at this and I keep going back to, we can ask, it can almost feel, does God see these things? What does he think? And when you look in Psalm 94, verse 5, verse 4, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Verse 5, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand ye, brutish among the people, and fools. When will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. And I just think, the nation is being chastened. They are being, and this is, maybe we can talk about the shaping of the nation through all these things. But the Lord is not unmindful of these events. And verse 14, the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. And it carries on about his judgments to come. I just think some of these events, the Lord is not unmindful of these things. And things have changed for the people of Israel since October 7th. And I just, as we've watched events and the enemies of Israel begin to fall, it feels as if God has taken note as well. And so, again, it's one of these things we watch. But the God of Israel is active, and I truly believe that.
I mean, the thing with the Bibas children is genuinely heartbreaking as well, because when they were returned, it was clear, I think from forensics, I think the State of Israel sent out evidence out to the nations around as well, that they were killed, I believe by bare hands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can just imagine how just awful that kind of situation is. And obviously they sent the wrong body back as well, with Shiri Bibas, with the mum, first of all. Oh, but I mean, it's just terrible.
They stuffed propaganda leaflets in the coffins. They locked the coffins and then gave them the wrong keys. I mean, it's just.
But when I saw the ceremony, and I was thinking about it later, we talked already about how there's a parallel between the Philistines of the time of David and then the Palestinians today in the Gaza Strip. And it reminded and made me realize there's like an echo of how the Philistines behaved with, like, when you think of when Israel was defeated on Mount Gilboa, how they took the body of Saul and they paraded the body of Saul and his sons in Beth Shan. And also when David is singing, with David's song that he writes, you know, he says 1 Samuel 1:20, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the children of the Philistines rejoice, lest the children of the uncircumcised triumph. And
that's an incredible connection.
That's an amazing verse.
I'm not saying at all that that's written about what's happening now. I'm not saying that, but you're just seeing an echo in the attitude of the people in that land against Israel, that they'll take their bodies, they'll parade them through crowds. I'm not sure if you've listened to the music they're playing as well. It's not, this isn't somber funeral music. This is party music that they're playing. It's an event of rejoicing that they have then. And they're parading these bodies of the Jews, in their midst, and they're rejoicing, just like they did with bodies of Israel back in the time of Saul.
This is really important as well, because it speaks to the fact that obviously in Gaza, it's not just Hamas who've committed atrocities against Israelis. For example, the people who abducted Shiri and the two children, I believe, were civilians. And it's not just, I think, you know, there's also a huge proportion of those who came over on October the 7th who were also civilians. It wasn't just terrorists, it was civilians. And obviously the fact that that Hamas had any intelligence at all on October the 7th came from the fact that civilians who worked in Israel brought back information back inside to Gaza. So it's not just Hamas that's the problem in Gaza, it's the civilians as well, in many cases.